This is Anne Graham Lotz with Daily Light for Daily Living. Think about when you've been in a difficult situation and you felt alone. That can be a very vulnerable, terrifying place. God wants us to come to Him with our cries for help. When we feel there's no other person who can understand our situation, God is there for us. But we have to choose to acknowledge our need of Him and know that we are not in control. 2 Samuel 22, verse 7 says, "In my distress, I called to the Lord. I called out to my God. From His temple, He heard my voice. My cry came to His ears." Prayer doesn't have to be fancy or long or filled with Bible verses. In fact, sometimes we don't even need words. We just cry out to God from our heart, and He promises to meet our needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Listen to me. Desperate prayers do make a difference. This is Anne Graham Lotz.
Mission sequence time.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engines running. Commit. Liftoff.
Hey, folks. Good afternoon. Welcome to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes, along with my good buddy Doug McCary, coming to you live on this Wednesday afternoon. And we are glad you tuned in. And it is SWAT Wednesday. Good study today, Doug.
It was. It's still in Mark, and got to look at the life of Herod Antipas, which was anti-John the Baptist, basically. He was exactly the opposite of John the Baptist.
Now, so. Did Herod Antipas build Philippi Maritime?
No. That was his dad, Herod the Great.
Okay, Herod the Great. That's right.
Yeah.
I was thinking about our trip to Israel. That was kind of our first stop.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yes. The first day, first stop was Caesarea Maritime.
Yep.
That was really cool.
Yeah, it was his dad who built that, and his dad built he added on to the temple that Nehemiah started,
right,
and really
right.
made it great.
Right, right. Well, glad you tuned in this afternoon. We're going to be in Mark chapter 6, and you know, this has been a powerful study. I know, you know, if you're listening to Christian radio, you've heard lessons from Mark's gospel. Doug, this has been an incredible study so far. I know it will continue to be, and how you and I often talk about, familiar passages of scripture that you may be teaching for the 10th time, and yet God brings something out. And, you know, so much of what we were talking about last week and even on Monday and Tuesday, just how I'm so familiar with this passage, and yet there's so much in here that it was good for me.
Yeah.
And a good reminder for me, just in my daily walk.
I know. Well, it's just always so rich to work through the text from a teaching perspective.
Right.
Wouldn't you agree that you learn so much more when you're going to teach it than going to hear it taught?
I literally just got off a conference call. You remember Chap Bettis?
Yes.
Who wrote The Disciple Making Parent? I was just on a call with him, and I'm going to write a blog for him. And we were talking about that very point, is that, you know, when you teach something, you learn it differently.
Yes.
And I still recall 37 years ago when my brother-in-law, Tim, asked if I would teach a Sunday school class that he taught. I mean, I was so scared, so nervous. I initially was like, oh, I can't do that. And I probably studied 40 hours to teach a 20-minute or 30-minute lesson.
I know.
But it changed me. It made me realize. And I feel like the importance of equipping people to learn to teach, to learn to study to teach. I mean, I think it's one of the things that I always ask guys is, hey, what are you studying right now? And, what are you studying right now? And tell me what you're studying. Because you could say, hey, I'm studying through Mark chapter 6, but I'm going to ask you, well, what are you learning? Because you're going to teach me what you're learning.
Yeah, and as you go through and study, at least what I've found over, especially the last, Well, since I've been going to Israel, is studying it contextually, it gives so much more depth. It doesn't mean that you can't learn it without that knowledge, but it just gives it so much more depth, you know.
I feel a plug coming in there for an Israel trip.
Well,
which I know is.
Yeah, I'd like to do that. You know, unfortunately, our 2024 trip has been canceled, and we're going to try to go in 2025. Hopefully, this whole thing will be resolved. Speaking of the whole Israel thing, the protesters around the country, it's staggering, Brad. I mean, like when you look, we're not just talking about one isolated place. It's in Minnesota, Wisconsin, Florida. It's here. I mean, there are protesters all over the country. They're saying things like this: the 7th of October is going to be every day for you. Think about that. I mean, can you imagine somebody going, it's going to be a 9/11 for you every day?
Exactly.
I mean, that's basically what they're saying. They scream at these Jewish students who are over here going to school, who have nothing to do with anything going on in Israel except they're here. They're going to school here. One protester at Columbia said they called for Hamas to burn Tel Aviv to the ground. I mean, you just talk about, like, that's just hatred. Hamas, we love you. We support your rockets too. I'm telling you, substitute any other cause for that right there, and people would be absolutely insane.
Yeah.
But I mean, whether it's Columbia or Yale or Harvard, I mean, like, it's just crazy. All these students are forming change. They're intimidating. I mean, I feel really bad for the Jewish students. I wish some organization would say, hey, we're going to mobilize protectors. We're going to take people up there, and actually we'll escort the Jewish students to class.
Mm.
I mean, think about it. I mean, it's just crazy.
Hey, anybody want to do that?
I'd do it.
I'd do it too. I'd absolutely do it. I think we've got to do it.
Well,
you know, I know it's a, you know, they probably wouldn't let us on campus, but, you know, I don't know. What is the answer? You know, obviously, free speech, we don't want to take that away. But this is threatening.
Yes. You know,
these are threats.
Yes,
and
it is.
We wouldn't allow that from anybody else.
No.
Why are we allowing it from them?
It's really, really bad what they're allowing. And, you know, throughout our history, with just the history of what we've seen over the years about the Jewish people, have we forgotten? I mean, it's you've got there was a professor at Columbia that praised October 7th. He actually praised it, you know. So I don't know. Let me read this quote. He says, this is a few years ago. Every dirty, treacherous, ugly act happening in the world can be traced to the name of Israel. This is the kind of people that are leading these institutions. And that's why you're seeing more and more people leave those institutions and come to colleges like Alabama, Auburn, Florida, Florida State. I mean, you know.
Right. Absolutely.
Because they don't want to be a part of that.
I know there's already a number of students demanding a refund at Columbia, which, you know, with the amount of money these people are paying, and you know, the ones who are paying their way want that refund. The ones who are having their school paid for are the ones marching, probably.
Yeah. It's just it's a bad optic all the way around. There's no way. I don't see any way you justify anything that they're doing right now. It would be the equivalent of people saying, we support ISIS. We support ISIS. Mm-hmm. We want every day's a 9/11. We support these murderers. What they did. Brad, did you see any of the footage of what happened on October 7th? It was awful.
Mm-hmm.
It was terrible. I mean, and yes, we have free speech, but we also have laws against incitement.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't be, I mean, it's just crazy what's going on. So we need to pray for leaders to step forward that will act and put their, expedient political expediency behind doing what's right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's just.
I know we don't get much into politics. We don't. It's not something we want to try to tackle. There's a lot of other people who do that and do it well. But one person in particular that I find just shocking is Fetterman.
Yeah.
I mean, he is totally in support of Israel. In fact, it's one of the articles says his former aides are reportedly livid over the senator's staunch support for Israel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, of all the people that I thought was going to be, as far left.
The pajama man.
Yeah, exactly. The sweat man.
Yeah, the sweatsuit.
This
is really the thing right now. That's if you turn on the news, it's pretty much what you're seeing everywhere is about these. And did you see that one person confront Alec Baldwin?
No.
And he slapped the phone out of the hands. They were trying to get him to support Hamas or support, just say you support Palestine. And he slapped the phone out of their hand. So they said he'll probably get charged with a lawsuit from the girl because she was irritating everybody.
Yeah.
So anyway, I look at that and it's just sad for our country that we are where we are. And this is what you see when you have a lack of leadership.
That's right.
When you have a vacuum of leadership, you will see people rise up. And I was talking to you before we went on the air. The president of Colombia is trying to negotiate. You don't negotiate with bullies.
Mm-hmm.
You don't negotiate with bullies.
Yep.
You have authority. You go in and you say, you get off or we start. You'll be expelled from school. Yeah. You won't be here.
How's this worked out in the past? You know, you look back over the leadership, political, about Iran, and hey, don't do that. Don't do that. It's like raising your kids, you better be serious about your punishment. Mm-hmm. That old say, you do that one more time, I'm going to get you.
You remember what Chesterton said? He said that America is the only nation in the world founded on a creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. They're endowed by the Creator with unalienable rights, that among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. How are they pursuing happiness? Does anybody look like they're pursuing happiness at these protests? Mm-hmm. I don't think so. Mm-hmm. There is no right and wrong in our culture anymore. You can't disagree with people about anything.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have dialogue mm-hmm. with people about anything. And you try bringing up abortion, talking to somebody that you have a ideological disagreement with. They shut you down right away or will shout you down. Same-sex marriage, any of these issues right now, we are just living in a very, I think, dangerous time.
Yeah.
I got an invitation today, Brad, to come to a meeting about some secessionist thing, like independent from, like a state's pulling away from the U.S. It's right. Like,
that's where we're headed.
What universe am I in right now? I mean, like, it's crazy.
Right? Right?
Yeah.
I hate to say it, but we're headed that direction, and I think that it's true because we can get so far down that there's no turning back,
mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Well,
I was thinking about Spurgeon's quote. It says, anything is a blessing which makes us pray.
Yeah.
Now, we wouldn't typically say this is a blessing, but it ought to force us to pray. It ought to push us to pray. So
Well, you know, the one thing I'll close this time out with is you would think after 1,200 people were killed by Hamas, it would have made people more sympathetic. But there's been more anti-Semitism since October 7th than probably the previous 5 years.
No question.
It's crazy. No
question. Hey, glad you tuned in. We're going to take a quick break. Call us this evening, this afternoon, 844-777-7928. I feel like it's evening, but SWATradio.com. We'll be right back.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls.
SWAT Radio is brought to you in part by Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. is a full-service sales door and window installation company. Both of the owners are licensed contractors and are involved in the daily operations of the company. All of their trucks are company-owned and fully equipped. Their mission is to provide Jacksonville and the surrounding area with door and window replacement services. To learn more, call 904-701-3667. That's 904-701-DOOR. Or online at www.acedoor.com.
Joshua 1:9 states, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Highway to Eternity Ministries is dedicated to encouraging those who have lost hope. The ministry seeks to serve those who cannot find peace and are considered unfit for inclusion in Christ's church. They use published works to teach God's word and share the encouraging testimonies of lives that have been transformed through God's power and grace. Highway to Eternity Ministry serves as a parachurch ministry that comes alongside churches to share its passion and commitment through spiritual writings, nuances, and experiences to everyone who has an interest in the teachings of Jesus Christ. For more information, contact Jeff Andrews at 904-436-5175 or visit www.highwaytoeternity.com. Highway to Eternity Ministries is a proud sponsor of SWAT Radio.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network. The Jacksonville Beaches listen at 91.7.
Why you ever chose me has always been a mystery. All my life I've been told I belong at the end of the line with all the other not quite, with all the never get it right.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Doug and Brad here on this Wednesday afternoon. Glad you tuned in. If you want to call in this afternoon, 844-777-7928, 844-777-SWAT. You can also email us any questions or comments you might have to ask@swatradio.com.
Well, you know, Brad, we are in Mark. I saw Matthew on my notes because it's also a parallel passage in Matthew. In fact, Matthew is much more extensive about this time. Right. But we're in Mark chapter 6. We're doing a study through Mark. If you're just tuning in, we've been in Mark since about a year ago. And we're in Mark 6, 7 through 13, 30 through 32 this week. And we've covered up through about verse 9. And as we've kind of worked our way through this, it's the first mission trip, first short-term mission trip. Jesus sends out the 12 disciples and on their first mission trip. And we don't know exactly where they went. They went to villages in the Galilee area, but Jesus had told them back in Matthew 9 on that parallel account that the people were like sheep without a shepherd, and the harvest was plentiful and the laborers were few. And he said, "Pray the Lord of harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And so they are the first generation really of ambassadors for Jesus, and they're going to be the leaders. They are the leaders. In fact, up until this point, Jesus was the only one preaching the Evangelion, mm-hmm. and they had been with him. But here's what's so amazing. There's no priest, no Pharisees, no scribes, no typical religious leaders that have been leading Israel for millennia. I mean, ever since the tribe of Levi was appointed to oversee it. And so now Jesus comes in and pretty much says to everybody, you're fired, to all of them. And these 12 become the spiritual leaders of Israel, the true Israel. Because even Paul wrote, not all who come from Abraham are true Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've been looking at what he sent them out to do. And we saw Monday, David and Craig did a great job of bringing out that he sent them out to, first of all, proclaim the Evangelion. He sent them out two by two, and they really preached a message of repentance, which, by the way, I don't know if they brought this out. We say it often. You don't hear the word repentance mentioned a lot in messages today, do you?
No.
It's not a popular word. Mm-mm. People don't like it. It's almost like a dirty word. But Jesus preached repentance. John the Baptist preached repentance. The disciples preached repentance. Paul preached repentance. They all preached repentance. And we brought out that as believers, we are to be a conduit. We are to have information coming in that is going out. And so often, we like it coming in, but we don't like it going out. Mm-hmm. We push back against that a lot.
Well, it goes to what we were talking about earlier, the importance of studying in order to teach.
Yes.
To share what you've learned.
You should always share. If you sit in and you get a truth, and that's one thing I love about having a wife who is so in the Word.
Mm-hmm.
We get excited about sharing what we learn in the Word with each other.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's part of the discipleship process, mm-hmm. and we sharpen one another. Yep. And so we are to proclaim the Evangelion. Second, we saw yesterday, we're to project his authority. And they projected that authority over unclean spirits. They were casting out demons. They were healing the sick. And, you know, today we don't do that. We're not big A apostles. There's a difference between big A and little A apostles. We're sent out ones, but I've never seen anybody that has the healing gift like they had when they went out then. It was very particular to them at that time, and Paul, as apostles of Jesus Christ, they were ushering in the time of the new covenant with Messiah. Hmm. And you only see miracles a couple other times. You see it when the law was brought in. With Moses, you saw miracles. And then with Elijah, when the prophets were brought in. But all this stuff about, well, we all got the ability. We just need to claim it. Well, why did John the Baptist never do a miracle?
Right.
Isaiah never did a miracle. Jeremiah. These were great men of God.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you have books written about signs and wonders. The signs and wonders were when the apostles were here, they did the work. Now, is that to say God can't heal? No, he can heal people.
And we should pray for them.
Absolutely. We pray. And we can pray, and he may heal somebody.
Absolutely.
And we can ask him for miraculous things, and he can do those things. It's just that Brad Sykes doesn't have the gift of healing to go around and touch somebody, mm-hmm. touch somebody. They had that ability right. at this time on this mission trip when they went out. Even Paul himself, it waned in him. Do you know, it says, Paul wrote, I left Trophimus sick in Miletus. Why would he leave Trophimus sick if he had the gift of healing? Just speak it or, mm-hmm. or touch him.
Right.
Timothy, take a little wine for your stomach.
Yeah.
You know, this whole idea that you know, these projecting his authority and the miracles and stuff, the signs and wonders, that it's active today like it was then is really not good teaching. And there's a lot of fake, we talked about it the other day, fake healers who've made a lot of money promising and not delivering. And they make these bodacious claims mm-hmm. about people, yes, I see you, I can see you out there right now watching this program, mm-hmm. preying on people's desire to be delivered, healed, or whatever. And they take advantage of the needy and the poor, and they violate what Peter says in 1 Peter 5, that we don't do this for shameful gain. We don't see Jesus as a means of gain like Paul wrote in 1 Timothy. And so in verse 10, he told the disciples to stay in one house, don't go house to house. And the reason was false teachers would basically go from house to house in a community, using up all the resources of each house, then they'd go to somebody else. They basically would just take everything they could get from one guy and then go to somebody else. And Jesus said, no, I want you to stay in one place. I want you to trust me. A verse that Jesus taught the disciples early on, he taught them this word. He says, don't be anxious for your life. Look at the birds. I mean, I take care of them. Look at the lilies in the field. They're beautiful. I take care of them. Don't worry about what you eat, what you drink, what you wear. You know, you just seek first the kingdom of God, and I'll take care of all this stuff. If God sends us on a mission, you can rest assured he will provide all we need to obey. You preach, I'll provide, God says. And, you know, Brad, we talked about this a lot yesterday, and I shared this story at the SWAT meeting. And early on in ministry, somebody gave me a book called Hudson Taylor's Spiritual Secret, and then another person gave me Answers to Prayer by George Mueller. These two pivotal books in my life were both about trusting God. Both of these men never ask anybody for a dime for their ministry. George Mueller raised thousands of orphans over years, and he would always just pray. There's one particular story I've always been fond of, that they were out of food. They didn't have food, and they had lots of kids. And all the workers are panicked, and they're talking back and forth about how are we going to feed these kids? How are we going to feed these kids? And Mueller says, well, let's just gather kids around the table and let's pray. And well, what are we going to pray? We have no food, Mr. Mueller. Let's just do it. So Mueller got around the table and they prayed, and he thanked God for the food. At that very moment, a door knock came. They went to the door. A guy taking food from a bakery to stores around town broke down right outside the orphanage and said, I'll never be able to get this to the bakeries in time. Could you use this? And he just gave it to them, all this food. That he has so many stories. His book's called A Million Answers to Prayer. He would pray and watch it. Hudson Taylor, the same thing.
I think you gave me that George Mueller book. May have been when we were on our trip to India.
Yeah.
Can't remember. I remember reading it on the flight and just, yeah, the stories that are in there. And, you know, and I think what I said early on when we came on the air, you know, this is a very familiar text, but where it convicted me is in this area of provision, mm-hmm. that God is the one who provides.
He is.
And I know that, you know, theologically, I know that, right?
Well, you know it mentally, right?
Exactly. I know it, but do I live that way? Am I more dependent on my skill set, my network, my bank account, my investment account, whatever it is? And it's kind of a check on your own heart.
Yeah. Like, so let me ask you this question. Can you know something without it being a conviction?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, listen, that we'll end on that one. We'll come back and discuss that a little bit more. Feel free to call us at 844-777-7928. 844-777-7928.
777-SWAT. You can email us your questions or comments to ask@SWATradio.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after the break.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. House Speaker Mike Johnson is calling for Columbia University President Manoush Shafiq to resign over her handling of anti-Semitic demonstrations on campus. Johnson told the Salem Radio Network,
"It's unconscionable. This President Shafiq is shown to be a very weak and inept leader. They cannot even guarantee the safety of Jewish students. They're expected to run for their lives and stay home from class. It's maddening."
Johnson calls the sometimes violent anti-Semitic demonstrations on campuses across the country disgusting and unacceptable, and says it's the job of all Americans to speak out. Speaker Johnson appeared today on the Salem Radio Network. Also at SRNNews.com, conservative Supreme Court justices appear skeptical that state abortion bans that took effect after the sweeping ruling overturning Roe v. Wade violate federal health care law, even during some medical emergencies. The case heard Wednesday will determine when doctors can provide abortions during medical emergencies in states with bans enacted after the Roe v. Wade ruling. Pennsylvania voters deciding it will be Casey versus McCormick in Pennsylvania's high-stakes U.S. Senate contest.
Pennsylvania's primary election results have put Democratic Senator Bob Casey and Republican challenger David McCormick on track for an expensive race that's expected to help decide Senate control on Capitol Hill in the November 5th election. Casey is seeking a fourth term, while McCormick is a two-time Senate challenger. Now McCormick's candidacy is shaping up as Casey's strongest challenge yet in his re-election bids. In the presidential race, President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump each easily won their party's nominations for the state. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
This is SRN News.
It was 2020. A virus strain made its way around the globe with repercussions that would make history. No, I'm not talking about COVID. It was called H5N1, or bird flu, and now its impact is becoming apparent. Historically, bird flu infected birds, not humans. So what's that got to do with the price of eggs? Well, the answer is everything. It's deadly to poultry. 90,000 chickens dead, the worst outbreak in U.S. history, and egg prices soaring. But that's not all. Now it's crossed over to cows, and though not deadly to them, experts point out that it's still a big deal. Bird-to-mammal transmission was previously almost unheard of. So what are the implications? How far will it go? Time will tell, but we should not be afraid. Our Creator is the Lord of heaven and earth. We can trust Him, and we can pray. I'm David Wolin at haventoday.org.
There's major delays because of a crash on the Arlington Expressway westbound beyond the MLK Parkway. That's closed all the lanes. Also, there's a broken down vehicle on the West Beltway, 295 southbound at the ramp to I-10. And there's a disabled vehicle on Butler Boulevard westbound at Hodges Boulevard. Mostly clear tonight, low 59, Thursday sunny, high 85. From the Traffic and Weather Center, I'm AJ.
There is good news for the captive, good news for the shame. There is good news for the world who walked away. There is good news for the doubter, the one religion failed. For the good Lord.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Brad and Doug here on this Wednesday afternoon. I want to mention, as I always do, if you are not plugged into a men's Bible study, obviously SWAT is a men's study. Although we do have a fair amount of women who listen to this broadcast,
yeah.
The Bible studies, at least the SWAT studies for men, go to SWATradio.com. You can check out the various locations. Click on the meetings tab. You'll see where we meet, what time we meet. There is a women's study that Doug's wife, Lori, leads
on Wednesdays at noon or 11 or 10:30. What time?
10. She leaves at 10 o'clock. At 10 o'clock. Yeah, she leads it from 10 to 11:30 every Wednesday. In fact, I think they got three more meetings. They're going through the chronological Bible. They're actually in Romans.
Right? Oh, good. Okay.
So and you can join us on the SWAT Zoom on Thursday nights. Just send me an email at doug@swatradio.com, and I'll be happy to add you on that. We had a new guy today. Guy I met at the Bearded Pig the other day. I've seen him before. I knew him from CFC and saw it was over at the Bearded Pig over the weekend and saw him with a friend of ours. And I was like, told him about it. And he said, you know, I need to come. And he came today. Good. So it was good. It was good. I want to get back, Brad. In fact, I want you to read the text. It's such a short text. It's only 7 through 13 and 30 through 32. Go ahead and read it, and then we're going to look at these last two ideas here of what Jesus sent his disciples out to do. It applies to us. These principles apply to us. To proclaim the euangelion, to project his authority, to prove dependence on God, to point out unbelief and its consequences, and to persevere. We're going to read it, and then we're going to look at these last two ideas, pointing out unbelief and then persevering to the end.
Yeah, Mark chapter 6, beginning in verse 7. And he called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. And he said to them, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. And if any place will not receive you and they will not listen to you, when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. Now, verse 30, jumping over. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now, many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot. I think I went over one verse.
Yeah,
too
that's,
far.
That's okay.
But anyway, these are the very words of God.
They are. And that last part, again, Mark sandwiches in sending out the apostles where Jesus sent them out and them coming back around the death of John the Baptist, which we're going to cover next week on air. But we've been looking at this all week, and we've gone through the first three points of proclaiming the euangelion, projecting his authority, proving dependence upon God. They were sent out to do that, because one of the things in proving dependence is you showed this is the real deal. This is not some fake healer out there trying to milk people for money. These are real ambassadors of Yahweh, and they prove it because they go out and they preach and they trust in Yahweh, like the prophets of old. And so remember how God fed Elijah from a raven? Think about that. That's crazy, isn't it? But God provided for him. Well, in verse 11, Jesus tells them to point out unbelief and its consequences. He says, if any place will not receive you, they will not listen to you, you need to shake off the dust. Now, that was very symbolic. Jews, when they went outside of Israel and went to a pagan land, when they would come back, before they crossed the border, they would take off their shoes and bang them together, shaking the pagan dust off their feet, symbolizing they wanted no part of that. So what Jesus is commanding the disciples to do is shake the dust off of that house that they were in, who wouldn't receive his word as a pagan house. Now, these are Jewish people. They're they're basically saying you're a pagan as far as God's concerned, even though you're Jewish, because of you're not receiving, you're not listening to the Evangelion, you're not responding to the Evangelion, you're rejecting it. 1 Samuel 8, I remember when Samuel was talking to the people of Israel and they were rejecting him. And God said, Samuel, they have not rejected you, but they've rejected me.
Yeah.
And also in Luke chapter 10, where Jesus is telling them that he says, listen, the one who hears you hears me. He's talking to his disciples. The one who rejects you rejects me. The one who rejects me rejects him who sent me. In other words, if they reject you, they're rejecting God.
Yeah.
And so treat them like a pagan outside of God's covenant. Over in Acts 13, verse 51, Paul does this. He does it in a couple of places, Acts 13 and Acts 18. Acts 13 is one example where he's over in Acts 13, verse 51. And it says, they shook off the dust from their feet against them, and they went to Iconium. Why? Because they wouldn't receive it. And they shook the dust off their feet, and they went to Iconium. The Jewish people there rejected the gospel as Paul was proclaiming it in the synagogue. So he shook the dust off. Over in Acts 18:6, it says, and when they opposed and reviled him, he shook out his garments and said to them, your blood be on your own heads. He shook out his garments. In Matthew 10, Jesus told the disciples, it will be more tolerable or bearable on the day of judgment for Sodom and Gomorrah than for the town that rejects him. So here's some questions. The disciples were sent out on a short-term mission trip. Simon, Andrew, James, and John, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas Iscariot. They went preaching, healing, casting out demons. Did they see the nation of Israel repent?
No.
No, they didn't. Mm-mm. Did they faithfully deliver the message of the Evangelion?
Yes, they did.
Did they represent Jesus to the people?
Yes.
Did a remnant repent?
Yes.
They did. Our job is to faithfully follow Jesus and put him on display, preaching the Evangelion, speaking that to people. And they did that. Not everybody is going to respond positively, but that's not our problem. God does not call us to save people. He doesn't call us to convert people. He calls us to be his witnesses. And in verse 13, it says, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed. They persevered. They persevered even after they pointed out the consequences of unbelief. How often, Brad, have we heard anybody point out the consequences of unbelief when they're preaching?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's kind of about as much time as you hear on repentance.
About the same, isn't it? You just don't hear it. We're afraid, because if we point it out, people say, you're judging me. That's probably one of the most quoted verses in the Bible by pagans. Judge not, lest you be judged, right? They don't understand the context of it. In fact, that what we're talking about is over in Matthew chapter 7. It is the most quoted verse by not only pagans, but I would say liberal Christians as well. People who are very lit. Judge not that you won't be judged. But what it goes on to say, if you work down, is take the log out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. The problem was not them calling out sin that they saw. It's they weren't acknowledging their own sin as they did it.
Right. Right.
And that's the problem.
Absolutely. And yeah, important point when it comes to pointing someone else's flaws. You better examine your own life.
That's exactly
before you start doing it. It doesn't mean you don't point out the speck.
No.
It just means, hey, deal with your junk first.
Yeah.
You know, so, hey, we're going to take one more break. Call us, 844-777-7928, 844-777-SWAT. You can also email us again, ask@SWATradio.com. Go to SWATradio.com, click on the meetings tab, come join us in person. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after the break.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts, and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomnehl.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network, heard in Amelia Island at 91.3.
Ramblers in the wilderness, we can't find what we need. We get a little restless from searching, get a little worn down in between. Like a bull chasing the matadors, a man left with his own schemes. Everybody needs someone beside them, shining like a lighthouse from the sea.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Doug and Brad here on this Wednesday afternoon. Absolutely glorious day out today.
That's awesome.
And, you know, our new studio has a window, so we get to enjoy it. And anyway, I was talking to my friend Chap Bettis, who's up. He's up in, like, the Rhode Island area. He said, yeah, we got a high of 60 today. I go, we got a low of 60.
That's terrible.
It is absolutely glorious out today. Yeah. But, glad to be opening the Word together, and this is going to be our last segment of the day. Always like to open it up for you to call us, 844-777-7928, 844-777-7928.
You know, Brad, I read verse 13 before we broke there, and I want to flip over real quick to Matthew chapter 10. This is the more detailed account, and people can feel free to call if you want to call in. But in Matthew 10, Jesus says, "Behold, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpent and innocent as doves." This is Matthew 10:16. "Beware of men. They will deliver you over to courts. They will flog you in the synagogues. You will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, don't be anxious how you are to speak or what you're to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. It is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will deliver brother over to death. Father's child, children will rise against parent and have them put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake. The one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone throughout all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes." He sent them out with that message on this trip. Now, they didn't get drugged before governors on this trip. That would come later. But you can believe that they were rejected. They experienced, he took them to Nazareth to show them what it looked like to deal with rejection and to model it. And they went out there and they anointed people with oil. By the way, just quick side note, did Jesus ever anoint anybody with oil?
No.
He just spoke it and it happened. Yeah. Why did they do that? You got any idea? I don't want to put you on the spot, but I didn't know.
Seems like we talked about this
I didn't have any idea why. Because I somebody, it was a trivia question. Why did they start anointing with oil? Well, in the Old Testament, oil.
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to the Old Testament. Yes, I know that.
It symbolized God's presence. Yeah. Right? It was always put on people, kings and priests, when they were being anointed for service, right? So it symbolized God's presence. So the thinking is that they took that. They didn't have Jesus with them. Mm-hmm. So they took the oil symbolizing the presence of God with them. And so they went out and they anointed with oil. And we know in James they still did it, because in James it talks about that as elders. But I want to go down to verse 30 real quick. But going back to Mark chapter 6, it says, they returned to Jesus and they told him all they had done and taught. They were accountable. They came back and reported back to him. And he said, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest. For many were coming and going. They had no leisure to eat. Isn't that encouraging? We talked about that the other day. Jesus said, you guys come on back. But they persevered. They went out, they did what they had to do, and they persevered. And we're here today because of the ministry of these men. Yeah. These men who were on this trip, who became the leaders of the church. They persevered. And it's a good encouragement for us to do that. And not only to do what they did, proclaiming the Evangelion, projecting his authority, proving their dependence, pointing out unbelief, but to be accountable. I love the fact they came back and they reported back to him. You know, Hebrews says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who have to give an account. We seem to forget this sometimes, that leaders over us have a great responsibility, and they're accountable to God for leading and shepherding the sheep. The leaders aren't just there to get up on a Sunday and deliver a message. There is a great responsibility there. And so the disciples persevered, and we should pray. When's the last time you prayed for your pastor that he would persevere? I can't tell you how many times I've talked to pastors who just want to quit. They just get burnt out. People say some of the the dumbest things to they, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, before we and I pick up on where we were talking about getting the speck out of our, I mean, getting the 2x4 out of our eye before we get a splinter out of our, you know, friend's eye. I think that would be true of our pastors.
Yeah.
Before we blast an email off or leave a voicemail or even worse, a Facebook post, pray for your pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Encourage your pastor. Your pastor deals with stuff you will never deal with.
Yes.
And I understand we deal with stuff our pastors may never deal with. Mm-hmm. But to your point, Doug, is your pastor, your shepherd, is going to give an account.
Yes, he is.
Not to you, by the way. He, you know, that doesn't mean he's not. There's a stewardship, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But, boy, you see this idea of giving an account throughout Scripture.
Yes, you do.
You know, and again, kind of going back, that's not a popular idea either. You know, what do you mean, give an account? Yeah. I mean, you've been given something. What are you doing with it?
Accountability. And that's what I'm saying. They came back. They told him what they had done and what they taught. They were accountable. And, you know, and he says, come on, let's go away. You guys need some rest.
Yeah.
I thought that was great.
Yeah.
So here's some takeaways. One of the takeaways is we got to ask ourselves, am I a disciple of Jesus? If so, when's the last time I proclaimed the Evangelion to anybody? Well, Doug, that's not really, that's the pastor. No, we are his disciples. Every responsibility. Every disciple has a responsibility, right, to do that. Why don't we do that? Well, we make up all kinds of excuses. Well,
you just hit on one of them. We think that's the pastor's role.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we do. We do. And it's not. It is not the pastor's role.
Yeah. First Peter. Yeah. I still always love that 1 Peter 2:9. That in that one verse, you've got your identity and your purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Who you are and what you're supposed to be doing.
Yes.
You know, it doesn't mean you can't be a carpenter, or you can't be a plumber, or you can't be an accountant or a doctor.
Yeah.
It just means that you're God's chosen instrument.
Yeah.
You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own possession, that you might, what? Proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light.
Yeah.
That is declaring the euangelion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. And, you know, when you think about the proclaiming the euangelion, you may not do that standing on a street corner with a Bible in your hand, but you can do that to your neighbor. Mm-hmm. You can do it to somebody you meet at the YMCA, at the grocery store, wherever. But as his disciples, we're called to proclaim the euangelion. Second, how am I projecting his light in the darkness around me? You know, Matthew 5:16 says, you are the light of the world. Let your light shine in such a way that God is glorified in that.
Don't cover it up.
Yes.
Don't put it under a bushel.
No. Third takeaway, how dependent on God am I in the way I'm living right now? Do I seek his kingdom first? Or do I sacrifice his kingdom work for my empire building? That happens a lot. That's a very convicting question.
Let's wrap it up right
now. No. But it's true, Brad. I mean, I think as we look at our own lives, when we go through these passages and it surfaces a mirror that says, how dependent on God am I right now? What am I doing in my life right now that if God doesn't come through, I'm sunk?
Yeah.
If you have nothing, then you have everything managed. And that's the way we like to live our life, if we're honest.
Absolutely. Doesn't require any faith, any dependence.
No. Fourth, how bold am I to share the truth of unbelief and its consequences with somebody? Now, this is not sharing the euangelion. This is after they've rejected the euangelion. How bold am I to share the truth of unbelief? To say, hey, you know what? I know this is something, and I'm not going to try to force it down, but do you understand the ramifications of what you're saying? I just want you to understand that rejecting this is not rejecting me, like you're rejecting Jesus. And in rejecting Jesus, you reject the creator, the person that made you. I don't care. Okay. I just want you to know that has very severe consequences, eternal consequences. And I want you to be aware.
Because I love you.
Yes, because I love you. That's exactly right. So, I mean, these are just takeaways. And finally, always this takeaway. In hearing everything I've heard, has anything been surfaced that I personally need to repent of? Is there anything in my life going on that shouldn't? Because, listen, we serve an infinite personal God who's made himself known throughout history through his word, his prophets, and his son, now Jesus, according to Hebrews. And our job? Point people to him.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're disciples, we need to be pointing, we need to be projecting, we need to be depending on him, and we need to be telling people, hey, this is a serious decision you got to make. So that's Mark 6, man.
Well, so right here on the air, I'll repent.
Yeah.
You know, I think one area I struggle in, Doug, is that fourth one. How bold am I to share the truth of unbelief and its consequences?
Yeah.
I do share the euangelion, but I don't often tell them the consequences. I mean, it is part of my presentation of the gospel, but not stressing that may be something I need to start doing. And just dependence on him. We are busy building our empires, and we need to be building his empire.
Yes, we do.
Doug, good to be with you, brother.
You too.
Glad you tuned in. Go to SWATradio.com. Come join us in person. Love to see you. You guys take care.
Take care.